Last week, we explored situations where we didn't have any words. We talked about without words, and I promised you that we would continue on in that venue this week. We sometimes are so shocked that we really don't have words, or maybe we're so surprised or overjoyed, or maybe hurt, or maybe disappointed, but sometimes we just don't have the words. A few weeks back, Cindy taught on going to the mat with God. Talked about Jacob's wrestling match and how we, too, wrestle with God. And we talked last week about what it looks like when we get to that mat and we're just without words. We just don't have anything to say. We found out that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words. Isn't it a reassurance to know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us? The Holy Spirit is in heaven between us and God, and he has a conversation with God and Christ like this. Well, they're in a real big spot, and they don't have the words. But the Holy Spirit is one of the personages of God. He's got the words, and he knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly how to pray for us. I don't know about you, but that is a huge, huge comfort to me, because I find myself in a lot of situations where I just don't have words, but I know God is there. We learned that without words, God can start working miracles in our lives, and he does. I guarantee you, when we don't have the words, when we just wait on God, when we wrestle with God, okay, when we start listening to God, when we start following God's words, when he does speak, then miracles can happen. And today we're going to talk about what we need to do when we're without words. Now, last week, remember I said, okay, we're going to go to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, I don't have any words. Please intercede for me. But while the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, we should be listening. When the Holy Spirit is praying for us, when we don't have words, we need to be quiet and we need to listen, okay? I heard very many instructors and teachers and even my parents say to me, Jim, you cannot hear if you are talking, right? We cannot hear if we're talking. So when we're waiting for God to speak, we got to stop talking. Now, here are a few ways that we can tell that if we're not listening. Are you ready? This is not the complete list, but here are a few ways that you can pretty much monitor yourself if you are not listening, okay? First of all, we're not listening if we decide what we're going to talk about. We go to God and we say, okay, God, I'm listening, okay? And then we all of a sudden start talking and we point the conversation away from what we don't want to hear, right? We interject our agenda and we fail to hear what we need to hear. We focus on someone else's problems, or we focus on the problems that someone else is causing in our life. You see, we decide what we're going to talk about. And this happens in communication with other people also. This is communication in general, but we do this to God also. The second thing that we do when we're not listening is we interrupt the flow of the one speaking. Have you ever done that? I do it, and I really dislike it when I do that, but I find myself, oh, I did it. I did it again. Because our brain is ahead of everything, right? And our brain is working. And oh, if I could just say this, if I could just say this, if I could just say this, right? We interrupt the flow. If we continue to interrupt the speaker, we are not listening. You can't talk and effectively hear at the same time. I think you've heard that before, and not just from me, I'm sure, okay? Thirdly, we overact with defensive emotions. Even the most unemotional people interact with defensive emotions when someone is speaking to them if they're not sure they like where the conversation is going. Now, this might come as a surprise to some of you, but sometimes God goes places we don't like him to. Amen? And so what happens? We might overact with defensive emotions. Our emotions, see, they act as a filter. Our past, things that have happened in our past, filter what we hear and see in the present, so we don't hear clearly what is being said. For example, somebody is maybe talking to you about an area that they see concerned, and you're thinking, I'm just fine. Have you ever thought that? Someone's talking to you, someone saying something to you, I'm just fine. I don't need to revisit that at all. I once was talking to somebody, and they said, we don't need to go there. I dealt with that. And what it was something that they just did, you know? We don't need to go there. I dealt with that, and we were dealing with pride. Whoa, boy, maybe we need to go there again. Okay. Or how about this? It can go the other way. It's not always on the negative end of things. It's like, would you quit being so positive? I'm really a mess. Right? You quit being so positive. No, life is not that good, you know? Maybe your life is good, but right now, your life doesn't even look good to me because I'm a mess. So no, quit being so positive. Our emotions can so filter, okay, what we are listening to. How about we seem bored? We start listening to God and we don't hear him. We start thinking, how long is this going to take? He knows that I pray every morning at this time, or I pray every afternoon at this time. How long is this going to take? You see, we start getting bored and our mind starts focusing on other things, okay? About 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in our kitchen. We have a little nook that faces south. We have a couple of lilac bushes, and the sparrows love our lilac bushes. And they're out there, and if it's sunny, they are singing, and they're so happy. And I was sitting there, and I was trying to listen to God, because I wasn't very joyful that morning. And I was trying to listen to God, and I thought, God, I just need some joy. When are you going to show up? God, I'm so bored. I'm sitting here, and I really thought it would, and I hadn't even worked on this message yet. And this is so ratting your pastor out, right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, really, God, how long is this going to take? I don't have all day. And God's like, yes, you do. And I'm sitting there, Lord, I need an interjection of joy. And the sparrows are out there. Ah, da, 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 da. And I looked at the sparrows and that scripture came to mind. He even watches over the sparrows. And I thought, you know, if they can be happy, I can be happy. I'm living inside, they're living outside. And it wasn't very warm that morning. You see, we can get bored. How long is this going to take? Number five, we allow distractions to interrupt the person that's speaking. Don't you just love it when you're speaking to somebody and their phone beeps and they pick it up and they quit looking at you? Oh, it's an email. Oh, it's a text. Or the phone calls. They get a phone call and they start talking to that person and walk away from you. And what you were talking about was very important. Or it was to you. I have a rule. If my phone goes off, okay, if my phone goes off, I try not to let it distract from that person in my personal space. Now, sometimes that's unavoidable because sometimes your phone rings and it's very, very important. But, you know, here we are, we're talking to somebody and we're just like our big dog. He's getting old and he forgets what he's doing. So he'll go outside to do something and he'll see a squirrel and go, squirrel! So many times that's like us. We're not paying attention to the speakers. We're letting distractions. Distractions can be in our mind too. We're listening and all of a sudden our mind goes off on a tangent. The last one, I always find it very, very interesting when you've been speaking with someone, and I have an opportunity to do a lot of teaching here in the college and in different arenas around Spearfish. And I find it very interesting when you get done, as a teacher, we always ask, do you have any questions? And I try to build curriculum to where there is questions. And I hope that after today, I hope that you have questions for Jesus. I hope you have, if you have a question for me, come and ask me. Because when we're all done communicating, if we don't have any questions, we probably weren't paying attention. I make it a point as I'm listening to someone, if I'm not clear about something they're said, or if there's something there that I would like to know, I make it a point to ask questions. I was in a school a couple of weeks ago, and the instructor, he said, you know, and he pointed at me, and I went, oh, whoops, I asked one too many questions. And he said, you know, I appreciate it when people ask questions, because I know they're going away from this with what they need. And I was like, whew, good, okay. If we don't have any questions, it's quite possible that we were not paying attention. So how many of us do these things to God when we're waiting on Him without words? When we stop talking and listen to what God is saying, I'm going to say this again, that's when miracles can start to happen. And I'm going to give you some scriptures this morning that point that out. And we're going to dig out a couple of words in these scriptures that I hope are new and surprising to you. They were new and surprising to me, okay? So let's look at it. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. The first time I read this scripture, I swallowed hardly. Gulp. I thought, well, if I give God permission to be in my heart, He's going to start performing surgery with a sword. I don't know if that scares you, but it scared me. He's going to start performing surgery with a sword. This is a very uncomfortable scripture. And we usually come to this scripture when we're without words, when we're to that place where we're really ready for God to do some surgery. Now, it's interesting that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So what God is metaphorically saying here is that His Word will do surgery on our heart. His Word is going to do something very amazing on our heart. His Word is there when we get to the mat with God, when we get to that place where we have no words, if we're quiet, if we take the time to wait, then God takes His Word and He starts to communicate to our heart, to our whole soul, and to our spirit. It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give account. God sees everything anyway. But what He does is He takes His Word, and it says it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That is every part of our being, our physical being, our spiritual being, our mental being, our heart. It says that God's Word is able to penetrate, to get in places that maybe we've never ever allowed Him into before. We have to allow it. We have to climb up on that mat, on that operating table, and we have to allow God to do His work. When we open up to God's living and active Word, He does something very amazing, and this scripture points it out. He places a gift within us that will affect us personally and supernaturally. There is a promised gift hidden in this scripture. You see, to find more in God's Word, we need to listen. We need to ask questions. And I was listening all week to this verse. And the Holy Spirit kept speaking. And I want you to hear what Jesus is saying here. The Holy Spirit kept speaking to my heart, and He kept saying, Jim, there's more. And I'd go back to it and I'd read it. And he'd say, Jim, there is more. And then I asked him, Lord, what is it? Because so many times we think that what we're looking for is right on the surface. We should be able to just find that precious gem right on the surface of the soil, right? And I said, Lord, where is it? And he said, dig. Okay. So I got out my Bible study tools and I started digging. Now listen to what Christ is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning through this verse. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and active. We know that. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. There's two things that God let me dig out of this scripture this week. First of all, he said, the word of God is going to divide. And I, right away, I thought, divide? Well, yeah. Once we come to Christ, we are divided from the word. God says, no. It's not a dividing as in division. Listen to what this word means in the Greek. It means a separation for distribution, a gift. Whoa. Okay. It penetrates even to separate the soul and the spirit so that it can distribute a gift. That's what the word means. For so long, I just saw this sword going, you know? And it says, no, God is a very careful surgeon, and he divides, and he opens it up, and he places a gift inside of our soul, inside of our spirit. There's something that touches our soul and spirit, and that's our heart. It's like a bridge. It's like a go-between. It's our heart. It's what goes on in our emotions, what goes on in our spirit. It's the very life of man. And that's why our heart, the life source of our life, is referred to so many times. It is something more than just our soul and spirit. It is something that binds it together. It's something that makes it whole. It's something that makes it alive. And it separates and it places a gift within the soul and spirit. And that gift, Isaiah talks about, it is an attitude of heart, as you see in the back. He separates us, he places a gift, and it judges, and that word judges means it corrects, it sorts out. It doesn't just, oh, you're bad, you're going to hell. No, it's not just that word, okay? It judges, it sorts out, it makes right, it brings justice. And God says, I'm going to bring justice into the attitude of your heart. And what is the Holy Spirit? What is Christ? What is God talking about here? It says in Ezekiel 11:19, this is a promise for the Israelites when they come back to God. It's also a promise for us as is the adopted children into the tribe of Judah. It is a promise for us that when we come to God, when we ask Jesus into our hearts, when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and live within us, listen to this, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. In Ezekiel 11:26, once again, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, when we read this in the English, we think, well, why does he say he's going to remove a heart of stone but give us a heart of flesh? Because so many times we think about the word flesh and we think about the carnal, sinful, fallen state of the flesh. But actually, this Hebrew word is not that word. It does mean flesh, but unlike the English language, the Hebrew language and the Greek language are very specific in what their words really mean. So here again, the Holy Spirit said, dig. And I did. And that word, flesh, does not mean the carnal flesh. It means to be fresh, to be full. I like this, to be rosy. Don't you just want to be rosy? If you stay out in the sun and you have a lot of fun, you get real rosy, you know? To be rosy, and you know, that means to just glow with joy, to be cheerful, to announce glad news, to be a messenger, to preach, to publish, to show forth, to bear, bring, carry, preach good, tell good tidings, which means that you are alive and you got something to talk about that's worth hearing about. And now God has divided all that was going on in your life, and he's placed this gift of a new attitude of your heart within. And that is what Hebrews 4:12 is all about. Aren't you glad you know that? Are you glad you know? Now, the fun part is you get to leave here today, and for the rest of the week, you need to be rosy. And you're like, I don't feel very rosy sometimes. That's okay. Because when you don't feel rosy, when you don't have the words, if we sit down and listen, if we're not distracted, and we let the Word of God do what God says it will do, he promises we will have a flesh that just overflows with his presence. So I encourage you to take that time this week to be quiet for a little bit and to let him speak to you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that your word is true, that everything that you tell us, everything that you say to us, everything that you declare, Lord, is truth. And we can count on it. We can grab hold of it. We can dig into it. And Lord, we can even just sit still and listen to what you're saying. So Father, give us a greater ability to listen. Give us a greater ability to be quiet before you. And give us ears that hear, and eyes that see, and a heart that absorbs your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.